That's Lee Morgan on trumpet with Double Up from his album Charisma, recorded in 1966, but not released until 1969. Lee Morgan, as I said, on trumpet, Jackie McLean on alto sax, Hank Mobley on tenor, Cedar Walton on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Billy Higgins on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead. It is Thursday, March the 12th. And Emailgate, the latest issue to bring Hillary Rodham Clinton's credibility and ethics into question, probably won't be the last to stand in the way of an all but declared presidential run. A survivor of several criminal ethics violations, conflict of interest, and corruption investigations that span her political career, Clinton reportedly is at the center of at least six new ones, probes connected to her tenure as U.S. Secretary of State in the Obama administration. Trouble for the former First Lady and U.S. Senator, however, is not just of the home-brewed variety. Stories are surfacing that link her to highly irregular political and business dealings outside of the United States. In this arena, Haiti emerges as a place of interest, for it hides a treasure trove of such Clinton dealings, says our guest, veteran journalist Kim Ives, co-founder of the international weekly newspaper Haiti Liberté. And he joins us now to unearth and reveal a few of these questionable dealings. Kim, it's always great to have you with us. Thanks and welcome once more to Lead Stories.
Thanks, Utrice. I didn't hear the introduction, but I'm sure it had to do with Haiti.
Yes, it did. Okay. We're talking about Haiti and Sister Hillary. You've been covering this for a long time, Haiti and the relationship of the Clintons to Haiti, their dealings in Haiti. And as the scenario develops and unfolds on the domestic side here, stateside, as they say, in the United States with Hillary Clinton, I'm sure there's a lot that's resonating with you in terms of the questions that had arisen much earlier about her dealings in Haiti. So could you give us an idea of how what was your first encounter with stories concerning Hillary Clinton and the Clintons, Bill, too, in Haiti?
Well, of course, it really all starts, we can say, back in the 1990s with the coup d'etat against former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. Bush Sr. Was the presided over that coup on September 30th, 1991. And one of the bases or one of the grounds sectors that Clinton appealed to in defeating Papa Bush in the 1992 election was the fact that he was going to bring justice to, one, the Haitian refugees, which he, in fact, double backed on, and even before being sworn in, he kept them at Guantanamo where they were being held. But the other one was to address or listen to the protests of Haitians, both in the States and in Haiti, against the 1990 1991 coup d'etat. So eventually that resulted in, for the first time ever, the U.S. essentially bringing back to power a president who they had ousted through a coup d'etat. And that was on October 15th, 1994. Now, from that reinstallation of Aristide, 3 years after the coup that ousted him, Bill Clinton got a huge amount of political capital. He was feted by the Haitian people, and the reinstallation of Aristide on the shoulders of 20,000 U.S. troops was quite a spectacle, and he got a lot of mileage from that. However, things fairly quickly soured because essentially Aristide was brought back to carry out a neoliberal adjustment of the Haitian economy, essentially selling off the nine state industries which were there, slashing state payrolls, lowering tariff walls, etc. All of which Aristide, once he got into power, started to drag his feet on and actively undermine, to the point where the prime minister, who was brought in to sort of shepherd through these changes, quit. And Aristide ended up putting in another prime minister, but the empire struck back. A member of his security detail was assassinated. He, not only that, but the U.S. sort of intervened when he went to go arrest Prosper Avril, a former dictator who his intelligence showed was behind it. The U.S. Embassy car was there, parked in front of Avril's house, and told him he wasn't going anywhere. This enraged Aristide. He went into the cathedral a few days later and said to William Swing, who was the ambassador at the time, as well as Brahimi, who was the U.N.'s head at the time, that I am the president, I can and I will. And basically he summoned the people to go out and unearth all the arms caches around the country. They were in fact dug up, and a lot of people ended up basically the insecurity that had been plaguing the country stopped for a few days. And basically at that point, Clinton and company said that it's time for Aristide to go. They had an election and they pushed Aristide out. He didn't reclaim the 3 years that the people were asking for him to claim to get back when they they were in the streets calling for him to recoup the 3 years he'd spent in exile. So as Aristide later said, I died in that film. And so things went kind of sour between Clinton and Aristide. But nonetheless, people still gave Bill Clinton a lot of credit. Okay, fast forward now to the coup d'etat of 2004. This is happening under Bush Jr. again. Aristide is out. Clinton keeps a distance, but when Barack Obama comes into office in 2008, along with the Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, they begin to monitor the situation in Haiti, the government, and it all leads up to the 2010-2011 election, where essentially the showdown, the runoff, is going between a candidate called Mirland Maniga, sort of a, I would call her a Republican in the U.S. terms, and the challenger was a who came in second place was a member of President Preval, then President Preval's sector and party, a guy called Jude Celestin. And Michel Martelly came in a close third. Well, there was some kind of, shall we say, color revolution that happened. They were lots of the town of Okai got burned, and there was demonstrations, and people were shot, and so forth. And eventually, Hillary Clinton went down to Haiti to sort of intervene. This is in the midst of the Egyptian uprising, with thousands in Tahrir Square, and Hillary Clinton is going to Haiti to essentially read Preval the riot act and say, you got to take out your candidate and replace him with Jude, with Michel Martelly, which eventually Preval did. So this was kind of, he didn't do, but it was done over him against his protest. At this point, Bill Clinton had meanwhile, even before the earthquake, been the UN's representative to Haiti, using his political capital, and afterwards he became the leader of the Interim Haitian Recovery Commission, which was essentially spending and monitoring the about $13 billion worth of international monies that flowed into Haiti after the earthquake. And so Clinton was playing that background role, and that the two of them essentially pushed out Preval, who was, I think, in their minds, a little too close with Venezuela and Cuba, etc. And they brought in this, I could compare him to a Tea Party candidate, Michel Martelly, and basically shoehorned him in, overruling the Electoral Council, who is supposed to be the final arbiter of elections. So that was really the role that Hillary played in 2011, getting Martelly into power, Bill playing the role behind. And it got to the point where President Preval at the time would walk out of public functions when Bill Clinton would get up to speak. That's how mad he was. But he didn't make any open denunciation, I guess, because he wanted to just retire in peace to his mountain home in Marmalade in the north of Haiti. So basically, in a nutshell, that's the arc of the Clintons' involvement. And it has to be said, they always say they honeymooned in Haiti. That's not exactly true. Again, it's a fudging. They honeymooned elsewhere, but their second trip, apparently, as a married couple back in the 70s, was to Haiti. So they always have this sort of myth of Haiti is their honeymoon, was their honeymoon destination.
You know, in observing how this developed, the Clintons and their relationship to Haiti, and I don't know if that's the right word, because it's certainly a relationship tends to be beneficial. This was not. We have, on the one hand, the president. One of the Clintons is president, mm-hmm. and then one is Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. And we have a kind of commingling of effort. We have a commingling of arenas. Everything seems to be coming together. But I just want to ask you about this particular perception that they seem to have Haiti as their own kind of turf, where they made the rules. They did what they wanted done. Was there a sense that, in effect, that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton were they carrying out any kind of directive from the government, or were there the people making the directives?
Well, it's interesting. In Haiti, when it was a French colony of Saint-Domingue prior to the 1804 revolution, the first nation of Latin America, Haiti had these French proconsuls, they were called. They were essentially sort of governors who were sent from France to oversee things. And so in many cases, Haitians sort of ironically refer to Clinton as the proconsul, Bill Clinton, that is, because he's been the more visible and he's been the more regular face of the Clintons in Haiti. And I could say that what happened during the years of the interim Haiti Recovery Commission was that essentially Bill Clinton, with two sort of Haitian lieutenants, one was Prime Minister Jean-Max Bellerive, who is sort of been caught up and implicated in this gold scandal, which I guess we'll talk about in a moment, as well as a guy called Gabriel Verret, who is a longtime USAID functionary in Haiti. Essentially, Clinton and those two were the ones making all the decisions about the billions of dollars in projects which were going to be approved and funded and applied in Haiti after earthquake. And this came from, in fact, the very board itself of the Interim Haiti Commission, which was, after originally being designated as being an all-foreign body, it was decided, okay, it will be half-foreign, that is, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, you know, various governments, France, Canada, U.S., etc. And then these 12 members of the basically the Haitian bourgeoisie and various other lackeys. But even those lackeys became upset because they saw that they were just portraits. They were just there as window dressing and that all the decisions were being made apart from them. And they, in one of the meetings, read a letter which essentially denounced this state of affairs. So, yes, Bill Clinton has been sort of running Haiti, we could say, as a fiefdom since, really, I could say, since he brought Aristide back. Essentially, I think he was behind pushing Aristide out in 95-96, or not allowing him to recoup the 3 years of coup exile that he endured. And in the period after the 2004 coup, he has essentially been, during this foreign military occupation of the UN, he has been the UN's point man in Haiti. So in many ways, Bill Clinton is, I guess, what you would call the power broker behind the scenes.
There's some noise that you may probably be hearing. It's construction.
Oh, really? I thought it was my cell phone which keeps popping. I'm about to mute here.
No, construction. So in this period where Bill Clinton is now exerting extraordinary influence and control over Haiti, not just politically, but also economically, because these $13 billion are coming in to help with the relief effort after the earthquake. And now we have a wonderful environment in which to combine the political power with economic interest and enter Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and as ambassador for U.S. business interests in Haiti. Could you describe how the Clintons, therefore, sealed the deal in terms of control? This is their turf. Haiti is their private little enterprise zone.
Well, Michel Martelly came in, and the what Haitians call the electoral coup d'etat that he carried out may have been aided and abetted, in fact, by some of the operatives of the National Endowment for Democracy, in particular, ironically, the International Republican Institute, or IRI, which is sort of the Republican wing of the NED. NED has two wings. It has the Republican wing and the Democratic wing. The Democratic wing is called NDI, National Democratic Institute. But it was a guy called Damien Merlot from the IRI wing, who was one of the advisors to Martelly. They had this supposedly Spanish, but we suspect it has other links to a firm, a Spanish firm, which sort of was the electoral strategy firm for Martelly. But at the end of the day, it was really Hillary's visit to Haiti, this in January, late January 2011, when the whole question was on the rim, because the Electoral Council, the Haitian Electoral Council, which is supposed to be the sovereign final arbiter of elections, said these are the two people in the runoff. It's going to be Mirlan Maniga and Jude Celestin. And they said, no, it's going to be Maniga and Martelly. And so really and we have to say this was done before. We saw this before in 2000 when Clinton was president. Aristide was elected in November, but prior to the November election, there was a big parliamentary election in May of 2000. And once again, Aristide's party, the Lavalas family, swept most of the Senate seats in this election. But what the Clinton administration did, acting through the OAS, what the Cubans call Washington's Ministry of Colonial Affairs. They got this, I think he was Trinidadian or Barbadian maybe, a guy called Orlando Marville, who came in and said, no, the way you calculated these votes in this May 2000 election was unacceptable. You have to throw out those seven or eight senators. And the Aristide people at first resisted, but then they said, well, okay. But nonetheless, this became the, thin edge of the wedge that they put into these elections. And then the whole opposition, which is, again, NED-funded, boycotted the 2000 election, and when Aristide was elected with 92% or whatever of the vote in 2000, they all cried foul. Again, this was the Clintons intervening, or I should say Bill Clinton, his administration at that time, intervening in sovereign Haitian elections twice, once in 2000, again in 2011, to get the outcome they wanted. So this is how concretely they end up being the strong man and strong woman in Haiti.
And when this is going on with Hillary Clinton as U.S. Secretary of State, was there a sense that this was the official policy of the United States, or was there a sense that it was entrusted to her and by extension to Bill Clinton to kind of figure out what they wanted to do with Haiti in behalf of the United States, and they were pretty much calling the shots?
Well, it's interesting. Usually the Republicans and Democrats in a lot of foreign policy affairs, at least relating to Haiti, are on the same page. But there have been, ironically, a couple of skirmishes. We could look back to when Aristide was being instated by Clinton back in 1994. There was quite a tussle, really, between Clinton and the right wing and the CIA, who were not agreed at all with his policy of bringing Aristide back. So there have been some tussles within the U.S. government over Haitian policy, especially when it's being carried out by the Clintons. There was that tussle in 1994. There was a very famous confrontation on the docks of Port-au-Prince. There was a boat load of Canadian and U.S. Police and soldiers who were being landed at the dock, and the CIA organized a death squad called FRAP under the leader of Toto Constant, now in jail here in the States for mortgage fraud. They organized this sort of demonstration, which supposedly scared away the Harlan County, and the boat didn't land the Marines. And so the first return of Aristide was sort of foiled by this CIA rebellion or mutiny, if you will, against Clinton's policy. But eventually Clinton got his way and Aristide was brought back the following year in October 1994. So, you know, I could say that there's some kind of struggle sometimes within the U.S. government, but most of the time I think Haiti is seen as a sort of chasse-garde of the Clintons. Sorry about
that. Well, now we have, again, we have the former president who is now a huge presence in Haiti. We did discuss, and you were the person to guide us through the eventual distaste that the Haitians developed for Clinton and wanted him out because the progress, the so-called Build Better program that he had touted in terms of improving things after the earthquake just did not happen. There was a huge amount of money unaccounted for, and they wanted him out. So there was a turning point in terms of Bill's luster among the Haitians began to just fade away. And Hillary, this is the interesting part I want to ask you to bring us into. Hillary Clinton now, with Bill's currency fast diminishing among his political currency diminishing mm-hmm. among Haitians, Hillary now kind of steps in. How does she take advantage of this climate? They still have control. They still have enormous influence. They control the prime minister, the appointment of the prime minister. They engineered the elections to get what they wanted and put the people in office that they wanted. And now it's a matter of how do they get access to the spoils and what are those spoils?
Yeah, well, I should say that really the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of, I could say, Haitian perception of Clinton, even though it was souring rapidly with the mishandling of the $13 billion of earthquake funds, was in the uprising this past autumn against Martelly. Essentially, he was on the ropes. People were asking him to step down so they could have elections, which he, for 3 years, never held. So the parliament expired on January 12th, the fifth anniversary of the earthquake. But as part of that struggle, at one point Martelly had to give a number of concessions. He had to get rid of Supreme Court judge, the head of the Supreme Court, who was a total lackey, patently a lackey of Martelly. He had to release political prisoners. But the key thing he had to do was let go of his prime minister, Laurent Lamothe, who was Martelly's longtime business partner in all kinds of businesses. And when he was when that came onto the a table, Bill, in a way, with to me supreme stupidity, because the, you know, they're usually so politically astute and intelligent, said, "Oh my goodness, this was the best guy Haiti ever had. He's the best, most active, most effective prime minister I ever worked with in Haiti." And it's not the first time he said that kind of thing. And this just really made Haitians everywhere in the diaspora in Haiti livid, you know, that they're carrying out this uprising and you're telling us what's good for us. Well, you know, we don't want him. So they sent him packing, La Motte, that is. And then we now turn to the current gold issue, which kind of came fast on the heels, as we've seen. There have been these revelations that Hillary Clinton's brother sits on the board of this VCS mining, which is getting a contract, a permit, or had in 2012 a permit approved to mine gold in Haiti. So this sort of, I could say, underlined or reinforced the image that Bill Clinton was at the very least mismanaging earthquake funds, but for many people, he was stealing it in some way and directing it to his own cronies and coffers. And this is primarily through the fact that the Clinton Foundation, as well as the Bush Clinton Fund, another separate fund, invested in things like these luxury hotels in Haiti, which went up. So, and there's a very deep nerve, I could say, in the Haitian psyche over the question, particularly of Haiti's wealth and gold. I mean, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, but they know that they're sitting, as we've talked about on your program, Eutrice, at some $20 billion of gold in the hills, mostly in the form of some kind of dust, which has to be very dangerously removed with all kinds of terrible chemicals. But the whole sort of, I could say, creation myth of Haiti revolves around the fact that Columbus arrived, enslaved the Arawak and Taino Indians on the island, killed them in the space of 15 years, taking gold from the mines, and then brought over Africans. And it was the it was General Jean-Jacques Dessalines and the slaves that rose up against slavery that ended up avenging this crime and this genocide. So when you have companies coming in taking gold out of the ground, this hits a nerve. And so I think the Clintons have had two major flubs in the past 6 months. One is backing up La Motte as he's on his way out, and now having this role of a Clinton family member being involved in one of the companies coming to take advantage of Haiti's gold, especially when the rate, the royalties that the Haitian government gets are 2.5%, half of the usual rate of 5% that a company is supposed to, the government is supposed to get from a mining company.
Now, as Secretary of State, I'm sure that part of the duty or the effort that is usually made is to bridge links between and among countries through trade, to encourage that kind of activity, to enhance their position. It helps the United States look like, you know, a good shepherd, bringing people together for the mutual improvement. But Hillary Clinton, where Haiti is concerned, had undertaken, it seemed to me, I mean, I'm just looking at some of the news coverage, a major interest in business in Haiti. And one would say, well, it's logical and natural and an extension of the vision about what should be done to improve conditions for Haitians, and that would be to encourage foreign trade and the development of businesses. But along with that, as you just mentioned, you know, we see that there are major questions about who is benefiting from this business development and whether, in fact, as Secretary of State, there was an inherent conflict of interest in the way she went around this, because the people and the companies primarily benefiting were people linked to them. Right. And in some cases, related, as her brother getting this mining permit, the first issued in 50 years. Mm-hmm. And it's the first one Martelly signed off on. So right. What does that say about the role that Clinton might have played that might have been patently a conflict of interest as Secretary of State?
Right. Well, what the company has pushed back, as some of the listeners may know, and said, well, listen, these two figures who are in question now, Tony Rodham, the brother of Hillary Clinton, and Jean-Max Bellerive, who was the former prime minister under René Préval, didn't come on to the advisory board of the firm of VCS Mining until almost a year in October 2013, about a year after the company got its gold mining rights in 2012. So this is, you know, they're saying this is, false. But of course, we know that a lot of these things can happen behind the scenes and under the table. It should also be said that Hillary Clinton pushed very hard for the establishment of this Caracol Industrial Park in the north of Haiti, which, and again, we've talked about that on this show, but basically paved over one of the Caribbean's last mangrove forests, destroyed coral reefs, destroyed hundreds and hundreds of hectares of fertile land, which was growing food for Haiti, again, the hungriest country in the Western Hemisphere. And it's been a total disaster. It was supposed to create 25,000 jobs, I think. So far, they've got about a tenth of that actually online. The workers who are working at this industrial park are very unhappy with conditions and pay. And the pollution is, as expected, growing from it. So this is, again, Hillary's work of shepherding in this sweatshop, this giant sweatshop complex into the north of Haiti. And unfortunately, this is exactly the program of dictator Jean-Claude Duvalier back in the 1980s. Essentially, we're going to lift up Haiti through tourism and sweatshops, and it doesn't work. It didn't work then. There was an uprising which ran him out of town, out of the country back in 1986, and it's not working now. And we see an uprising going against the neo-Duvalierist president now, Michel Martelly, because of the same failure. So essentially, whatever we can say about conflict of interest and, you know, was there money made by the Clintons in Haiti, and it has to be noted that a lot of this sort of attack is coming from the ultra-right wing, this guy Schweitzer, who came out with a book that Breitbart News, again, Breitbart News is, of course, a right-wing site. A lot of this is part of the whole electoral jockeying which is going on between the expected Clinton candidacy versus the expected Bush candidacy. But all of this, to me, in a sense, might obfuscate a little bit the fact that essentially the Clintons are carrying out the, I could say, imperialist scheme for Haiti, which is to make it a floating cheap labor platform, which can be used just to exploit the $5 a day wages that Haitians are paid to make our clothing and electronics, because, as we know, there's a strategic shift going in the world with respect to China, who will maybe be at war with soon. So we're trying to get, you know, some of these production platforms set up nearby in places like Haiti. And so to me, this is the role that the Clintons are playing, is really to keep Haiti as this functioning neo-colony and not have it become a Cuba or a Venezuela or a Bolivia.
People I know have been remarking that in conjunction with all of these developments, there has been a very aggressive program by the Clintons to buy up a lot of land in Haiti. What do you know about that?
You know, I don't know. I have heard this. I haven't seen anything hard about it, any hard facts about it. I've heard that he was buying, that the Clintons were buying land somewhere. I know they invested, or I should say the Clinton Foundation invested, and the Clinton Bush did too, I think, in the luxury hotels, the Oasis and the Marriott, which opened just last week or 2 weeks ago. So I'm not sure if that's the land that's being referred to, but I don't know of land purchases by the Clintons myself.
This, in a way, brings a question in the open of, I mean, you just on the look of things, it should have warranted a closer view by some kind of an authority in the United States looking at this. I mean, if you have a Secretary of State, a government official, and the government official is heading a project or is causing a project to come into being in which she also has a financial interest, one would say that that would be very troubling in the manner of ethics. You it just shouldn't be. And you have a former president also involved in the project who happens to be her husband. Mm-hmm. And you have a gold mining permit being given to someone who is the brother of the former Secretary of State. These things should warrant immediately an investigation. How come the Bill Clinton's administration of $13 billion in aid did not come under close scrutiny? How is it that Hillary Clinton's efforts in Haiti, including the engineering of its government, it's violating its sovereignty that way, installing people they like and getting rid of people they don't like, basically organizing the hub, an economic hub that would suit their investment portfolios. How is it that these things did not come or have not yet come under close public scrutiny?
Well, I think they are about to. I think that this issue is going to be very much in the public debate and before the public, ironically coming from the right wing, unfortunately, for this electoral season, because I think this is part of the soft underbelly of the Clinton machine, is essentially the way they've sort of thrown their weight around in Haiti. I think that this is going to end up being a real political football, and Haiti has been that political football in past elections, as it was in the 1992 election between Clinton and Bush the Elder, and I think this issue shows all signs of broadening. Now, you know, in as much as Barack Obama is some sort of offshoot of the Clinton machine, of the Democratic Clinton machine, I think, you know, he never had any interest in highlighting some of this. On the contrary, they're teammates, if you will, in the question of Haiti and in the question of U.S. foreign policy generally. I think that, you know, this is where alternative press, particularly progressive alternative press, hopefully like Haiti Liberté, can begin to find a few more answers here, like the question of land purchases and other conflicts of interest that may exist between the Clinton machine and various actors they have working for them in Haiti.
You know, I should mention that in the annals of who they got rid of, one of the first to go in this period that we're discussing was Prime Minister P.J. Patterson of Jamaica, who actually was to head up this rebuilding effort in Haiti. And somehow Bill Clinton was able to exert such influence that P.J. Patterson was out.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if you've seen the film, Utrice, of Raoul Peck, who put out a film called Fatal Assistance, which was essentially showing the nefarious role of the Clintons in the post-earthquake, quote-unquote, recovery. And one of the scenes in there is P.J. Patterson, who was sitting on that interim Haiti Recovery Commission board, essentially putting Bill Clinton's feet to the fire on, you know, how certain things had not been done. So maybe this axing of Patterson, which I'm just learning about from you now, came after that particular exchange or exchanges along those lines.
It's interesting. And I'm glad that you mentioned Barack Obama, because this seems, the conduct of the Clintons would seem to confirm that, in a sense, Obama was not in control of his own administration. That in the Clintons, you had a renegade operation going and Hillary doing whatever it is she wanted to do. And her relationship and her role in Haiti basically mimicking her role elsewhere around the world, the resources of the government, like the plane she traveled in and all of that. The question had arisen whether, as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton was actually doing business that benefited the Clintons, and that basically was a shill for the Clinton Foundation, through which other business arrangements would be made outside of the strict business of government. So, in a way, this seems to suggest that Barack Obama gave Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, and it's said that he is a creature of the Clintons, mm-hmm, politically, a lot of elastic. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think so. I mean, Utrice, I went to the Clinton Global Initiative extravaganza in New York, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. This, I don't know if you've ever been, but it is really, it's Disney World meets Washington meets Wall Street. I mean, it's such an affair with sky cams and, you know, tweet sessions and, you know, millions of these little sort of automaton, 20-year-old automatons running around, minding you, making sure you don't cross the press lines to go ask some Arab sheikh a question. It was really something, but the sort of climax that I went to and attended in the big auditorium, again, this huge room in the I forget which hotel it is in New York, the Hilton or one of those big chain hotels, involved bringing Barack Obama, preceded by Michelle Obama, on. And the sort of the machinery was so clear to me at the time when I saw it, just how this was really just the same huge apparatus producing these front men in the form of Bill Clinton and his protege, if you will, Barack Obama. So, yeah, it really somehow clicked for me at that moment when I saw, you know, Bill sort of running this circus, this media circus. And, you know, first they brought out Michelle to make some vapid statement about women's rights or something, I forget. And then, not to say that that's not an issue, but just her statement about it was. And then President Obama came on, and it was like, wow, here's the baby. So I think that it's a team, it's a huge machine, and we should never forget that.
Is there a parallel interest in terms of unearthing exactly what the tentacles have been with respect to the Clintons in Haiti? Is there a parallel concern about that in Haiti, but officially?
Oh, not officially. No, the Martelly government is very much on good terms with Bill, in particular Laurent Lamothe, who they love. They love Laurent Lamothe, who is sort of a Haitian-American businessman. He speaks their language. He has their vision. He shares their idea. And I think, you know, we're going to see more from Lamothe later when they have this elections in Haiti at some point in the next year. They have to because Martelly's term is coming to an end, and Lamothe is, I think, going to be the U.S. candidate. So I think that we're going to see, you know, more involvement. Of course, it's going to be covert mostly, but in Haiti, people are very clear about this role. I mean, as I say, those two political missteps, praising Lamothe on his way out, and now this involvement in the gold question, have just sort of sealed the fate. So as I go around Little Haiti here, and I was just down in Haiti back in January, the capital that Bill Clinton earned back in 1994, 21 years ago, has all but been squandered. And I think it's going to be very difficult for him to recoup that. You know, in Haiti, it's like that. If you can sometimes be seen as a savior, but if you fail the people's expectations, you're going to pay for it.
So what is your big story in Haiti, Liberté?
This week?
Yes, this week.
Yeah, this week, well, there continues to be, basically what's happening, I think, is the government is trying to create diversions. One, in Dominican Republic, there's been a lot of struggle back and forth between Haitians and Dominicans over, there was a lynching that people may have seen a couple of weeks ago of a Haitian man in Santiago Park, a park in Santiago, Dominican Republic, and there was a bus burned last week in town in Haiti, Laogan. So there have been a lot of tensions there. I think this is helping the government. And on the other hand, they're sort of feeding certain gang wars in some of the popular neighborhoods like Cité Soleil and Bel Air, which I think is also diverting this mobilization, which had grown to huge proportions in the months of basically October through January. The people failed to uproot Martelly, then came Carnival. So now the opposition is sort of getting back up its speed, and so we see this conflict, or we see this confrontation, I should say, between the opposition pushing to get Martelly out so fair elections can be held, and then Martelly creating all this sort of tension and trouble at the grassroots level. The other big thing is there was an assassination last week of Aristide's former securities chief, a guy called Auriel Jean, who put out a very explosive, we could say, story about the people who might be involved in the killing of radio journalist Jean-Dominique back in 2000. So Haiti Libertés has had this story for some time. We didn't put it out precisely because it would have put Auriel's life in danger, but because he is now dead, shot down on the street on March 2nd, the story can be told, and so that has been our other big story this past 2 weeks.
Well, hopefully we will be able to accommodate the story being told when you're ready. Kim Ives of Haiti Liberté, thank you so much for these guided tours into Haiti and the affairs of Haiti, which I think are so important for us to understand. Thank you so much for being with us today. Well, and, of course, I know you would be following the Clinton dealings.
Yes. Well, thank you for guiding me and guiding the listeners.
Thank you so much for being with us. And that brings us to the end of our program today. I hope it was illuminating. It certainly was for me. Kim Ives is one of the most, I should say, one of the most well-versed individuals covering Haiti and has been doing this for a long time. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com and on Facebook, Lead Stories with Eutrice Lead. Until then, as you know, it's a great pleasure and a privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.